Dave, how you doing?
Good, Gregor. What's up, buddy?
You know what? I never asked you. What's the A stand for? Abraham?
Andrew.
Abraham.
Typical Andrew, name. Yeah.
Andrew.
Hey,
okay.
And that's an indication that I like you, man, because I don't generally just volunteer that information that quickly.
Okay, I like it. I like it. Yeah. Nice. It only took me 3 years to get it, but I got it, so that's good. That's good. Dave, Struds and I were just talking about it. I don't know, like, people thought, hey, could Tampa win the series? 100%. But would they sweep them? Probably not. And, man, you know, outside of the Game 2 collapse where Florida beat themselves, Tampa really controlled those other three games. And, you know, it's full marks for them. And just when you get into series-clinching games right now with Andre Vasilevsky, just scoring a goal is considered a win.
It is. I mean, I picked Tampa Bay to win this series, but I picked them in six. I didn't think they were going to sweep. But to only allow three goals in the entire series against the most proficient offensive team during any regular season in the salary cap era, that says quite a lot. And to do it all without Braden Point, their number one center, I think, says even more. So, look, this Tampa team, they're just really impressive to watch. I tweeted it midway through the second period last night that, well, after they scored twice and had both goals disallowed, and finally they got another one. But I tweeted, I said, look, Tampa's going to win another series clinching game 1-0 again, aren't they? And they essentially did, an empty net or whatever. But that's how it turned out to be. And you could just tell that Tampa was playing their series-clinching style of hockey, where to even get a shot on net is difficult with the amount of block shots that every single guy on that roster is willing to make. But then if you finally do, you got to beat that mutant back there in Andre Vasilevsky, and it's incredible. In his last seven series-clinching games, 200 shots, one goal. I mean, come on.
So when you're looking at the Florida Panthers, disappointing, and many people have picked them as their Stanley Cup champions to be. Where do you start looking at what, you know, went really well this year, but obviously went wrong in this second round matchup?
Well, look, I think they play a really exciting brand of hockey, and that brand of hockey is really good during the regular season. But I had question marks coming into the playoffs when it came to the Panthers. To me, they have some fatal flaws in their team. Number one, I don't think they manage the puck near effectively enough during the playoffs. They make a lot of high-risk plays that oftentimes come back to bite you at this time of the year. And in the regular season, you can get away with that when you can score four or five or six goals a game. And, you know, some nights, you know what, you don't even get away with it. You lose the game, but then you move on and then you reel off another 8 out of 10 and everybody forgets about it. But you don't have that kind of time in the playoffs. So that to me is number one. They've got to find a way to manage the puck better, make better decisions with it, and quite frankly, make better decisions when they don't have it. Two, I think they've got to improve their defensive game. I had concerns about that coming in. I still do. I don't know if Aaron Ekblad was at 100%, but even if he was, you know, to a man, I think there's improvement there that needs to be undergone. And I think, you know what, offensively, they need to make some changes there as well. I think they have to be a little bit more comfortable playing low in the zone. I think at times they were a bit rush happy, if you will. And Tampa Bay wasn't going to allow them to play that way. And then it comes down to, you know, how much are you willing to play that heavy grinding game down low? And I just didn't see enough of that from Florida's big boys. So, patience. They got a good team. They're going to be a good team in years to come. But now it's about how they evolve their game. Much the same questions we were asking about Tampa Bay two and a half, 3 years ago.
Yeah, it's interesting. They paid quite a price to try to bulk up, right, between Giroux and Sherratt. This offseason, they got Yandel's buyout. Next year, it kicks up to $5.5 million in dead cap space, although I guess they get a little help with Luongo's coming off. But this is a very, you know, I feel more than ever there's some really interesting off seasons coming up here. I think we can look to that team, obviously, as one. I think we can look to the Leafs as another. Mm-hmm. I think even here in Edmonton, I know we're still in the playoffs, but another interesting off season, maybe Winnipeg. Like, am I getting ahead of myself? But I think there's just a lot of interesting teams with interesting off season decisions to make as we look a little bit ahead.
No, I think you're right. You know, Florida, I think they should fairly well stay the course. I think Toronto, you know, same thing. It's not the popular mindset right now, but, you know, as I said, I don't know if I said it to you guys last week or the week after they got knocked out, but generally speaking, nowadays in the NHL, how you build a team is you draft, you acquire, you commit to, then you hope. And to fundamentally change your core in the midst of its window, I think oftentimes does you more harm than good. So you look at who you are as the Leafs right now, and, you know, that's their core, for better or worse, with Matthews and Marner and Nylander and Tavares, right? So to move, you're not moving Matthews. And I think you'd be pretty foolish, albeit he's paid too much money, to move Mitch Marner. If you move William Nylander, are you a better team in the short term? Maybe, but you have to be pretty darn sure when you make a deal like that to make sure you're bringing in somebody who can help you today, because that's what it's all about in Toronto. So I think they got to tweak around the edges. Look, I think bringing Giordano back was fantastic.
Oh.
2 years, $800,000. I mean, he basically said, I'll play for free if you want me. and he's right. I mean, he made six and change last year, and he's still a really good player. He was great when he came over. He fit in really well, so that'll allow them a bit of flexibility. Tweak around the edges, but I think you stay the course. Winnipeg, same thing. Strutty, I think they're right there. They got to make some savvy moves because something's wrong in that room. Based on the idea to make the playoffs, but I think they got a good enough team where if Kevin Cheveldayoff has a good offseason, I think they are certainly able to jump into a playoff spot, if not contend next year.
Dave McCarthy from SiriusXM joins us. Dave, you look at the Avalanche, you know, Nazem Kadri. Leaf fans must be very upset that Nazem Kadri is now doing what he should do, right? Antagonize the other team, stay composed, score goals. Man, he's been great for Colorado in that series and has completely the Blues off their game.
100%. I am really happy to see how Nazem played yesterday under really, really difficult circumstances, and the type of circumstances, guys, that folks like you and I and the three of us here, we can't quite relate to the same way that Nazem has had to, unfortunately, throughout his career. So the way he played was incredible last night. And I think, quite frankly, the Blues organization has come off not in a very good light. I thought going after him the way they did in the second period last night, David Perron, to me, should consider himself lucky that he only got away with a fine. Because that, to me, is just pure intent to injure. It really was a bad look. And quite frankly, Craig Berube in the morning yesterday did not come off looking very well either, based on his remarks to what he was asked about what Nazem's had to endure over the last couple of days. And to say no comment was really, really disappointing to me, because, look, you can still be as competitive as all get out between the whistles. And that's what I expect out of St. Louis, and that's what I would hope for. But in a position of leadership like he is, with a voice who matters within the St. Louis Blues community and their fans, I think it would have been really powerful for him to come out and say, look, we're going to play hard. We're going to play Nazem hard between the whistles. And that's what you expect from us, and that's what we're going to do. But anybody out here sending messages like they have over the last couple of days is not a real Blues fan and has no place supporting
100%.
Our team. He should have said that, and nobody would have criticized him as being soft or, oh, he's not putting his team in the... There's a difference between the game and real life, and what Nazem's had to endure should not be allowed to stand, and I thought it was really weak on his part.
Well, I'll take it a step further, joined by Dan McCarthy. Not only shouldn't they not be, say they're not Blues fans, we don't want them in watching or involved in NHL hockey. If you're
that's
sending
exactly right.
texts or notes at people like that, we don't want you. We don't need you here. And when I say we, it's everybody. Fans, players, media, we don't need that type of person. Not Kadri, but the people sending him those types of notes. It's an absolute joke, and it's gutless. Because they would never say anything to his face. It's just absolutely gross. Shifting gears over the Carolina Hurricanes and the Rangers, have been a good series. Carolina, you know, what do they have to do here? Like, obviously, you know, the Rangers are solid, but do you think they can get it done in New York?
Yeah, for whatever reason, they seem to be a different team when they're yes. away from Raleigh than when they're on the road, for whatever reason. So, I think they can get it done. I think, firstly, you know, Igor Shesterkin deserves a lot of credit for how he played the other night. He was excellent, and he's a big part of their team, right? Like, some teams, they don't rely on their goaltender as much as others. There's two schools of thought about that, but some teams do, and some teams, it works for them. And your goaltender is allowed to be good. And for the Rangers, Shesterkin is a big part of their team. So he deserves a lot of credit. I think when you've got a goalie playing the way Shesterkin is, you know, it sounds simple. It sounds like a cliche, but I find, generally speaking, cliches are cliches because there's truth to them. Get bodies to the net. Get in front of his eyes. Take his eyes away. Just get pucks on net. And try to bang away at rebounds. When you got a goalie playing that well, that's typically, to me, the best way to get the better of them. And, you know, that can be difficult. You look at Tampa Bay, it's tough to get a shot to Vasilevsky right now, let alone to beat him. But if the Rangers aren't going to be willing to block shots to the same level that Tampa is, just simplify the game on the road. You don't have to entertain anybody. Just play a simple game. Get pucks on him. Take away his eyes. And try to score some cheap goals, and I think it's really setting up now for some of their big boys in Carolina to have a game. Like, Ian Cole and Brendan Smith really carried the way in the first two wins of this series for them. I mean, they get that level of production, quite frankly, right, Strutty, from guys that played your role later on in your career. That's huge, right? I mean, that's good, but. But now, and that buys the big boys time to be in a position to have a game of their own. But now I think it's on them, the Ahos, the Teravainens, the Svechnikovs, those type of guys, to really exact their will on this series and show up and have a big road game tonight.
Davey, have yourself a great week. We could be next week likely talking about the conference finals on the Final Four. We know one of them. I think Colorado was destined to go there as well, and we'll see about the other two series. Could have a much brighter, clearer picture after tonight if Edmonton and Carolina win. So we'll see where it goes. Thanks for your time.
Okay, boys. See ya.